This is Dottie Pepper, and you're listening to Radio Golf Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to RotoFest 22 here on the radio. It's the 126th playing of the U.S. Open Championship at Shinnecock Hills in Southampton on Long Island, New York. The prize fund is $21.5 million, and the defending champion is J.J. Spaun. It's the fourth U.S. Open at Shinnecock, most recently Brooks Koepka beat Tommy Fleetwood by one in 2018, shooting one over par for 72 holes. In 2004, Retief Goosen edged to Phil Mickelson by two. In 1995, Corey Pavin beat Greg Norman. And in 1986, 40 years ago, Raymond Floyd beat Chip Beck and Lanny Watkins by two, collecting a winner's check in the amount of $115,000. This Sunday, the winner's share is likely to be around $4.3 million. Golf is doing well. The golf course is an absolute gem. So let us jump right in. We got a short stack of all-stars for the moment, but that can always change. We have our six categories plus two wild cards. And the first category, interesting enough, Eduardo Molinari came up with his top five, he calls them DP World Tour players for this tournament with his algorithms. And they are Rory McIlroy, whose U.S. Open record is quite astonishing. Ludvig, who has not won any major at all. And the 10 majors he's played in, he's missed four cuts. So that's an ominous record. Tommy Fleetwood, who has three top fives in the U.S. Open and tied for second in 2018 at Shinnecock. Shane Lowry, who tied for second at the U.S. Open in 2016 and, of course, won the Open. And Justin Rose, who has won a U.S. Open and has five top tens in this tournament. We will start off with our guest from Texas, who is the biggest new fan of the Dutch football team. Mr. Ogren, welcome to you, sir.
First we go Lynx, then we go Rex. Sounds like my golf game.
Army golf.
Did I just cut out on you?
No, Army golf. There you go. We heard
Army
it.
Army golf, yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, Shinnecock Hills is an amazing place, maybe one of the best clubhouses in America. And I think the biggest thing that they've done for this U.S. Open that's going to change the outcome is they have supposedly let the fairways get back to being 48, 46 yards wide, as intended. I don't know what that means, but as intended. So
that was part of the redesign by Cor Crenshaw back when they did that, correct?
I think so, and I can't imagine having fairways that wide doing anything but making Shinnecock significantly easier to play.
Mm-hmm. What is the width of the normal fairway at the U.S. Open, about half of that?
You know, when I played in Inverness in 1979 and then later on at Oakmont and Wingfoot in 83 and 84, I mean, it was 28, 30 yards wide.
There you go.
I mean, they just put a premium on hitting the driver.
Right. Yeah. But they've made them for
going back to these wide fairways.
They've made
back to these wide fairways. It's a little bit like Erin Hills, the experiment they ran in Wisconsin.
Right. But I think, and we'll talk about the golf course. I think what they're trying to do is, and I kind of like it, because they're kind of doing what the PGA of America did at Aronimink, where they're really trying to bring back the way the golf course was intended. And maybe it allows them, by not having people chopping out from a yard off the fairway, of a narrow fairway, they can really go after some more difficult pin positions. It's just a guess. I don't know much about it, but I think we'll talk about it as we continue. From this Eduardo Molinari's top five, David, are you going with Rory, who is pretty hot? I mean, he won his first major in 2011, was a US Open. He has seven top tens, 2 seconds, six top tens in his last seven US Opens. So I think he's got to be a favorite up there. Is he yours?
Okay, so the question would be, of that list, who's the better player? Who's the best player of that five? And I think without a doubt, in my mind, it's Rory. But for the picking of this RotoFest, I'm gonna go with experience and savvy, and somebody who thinks that he might only have a couple more cracks at it. I'm going with Justin Rose.
Justin Rose, a US Open winner.
A U.S. Open winner on another golf course, by the way. In order for them to get a U.S. Open, they had to do stuff on it to make it a U.S. Open because Marion has shrunk to a golf course that's not quite big enough to host a U.S. Open, so they have to do some things. And so they've done some things with Shinnecock. If I recall, the last time they expanded the greens. Now they've expanded the fairways. And I just think the time is running out. He's still in peak physical shape. His golf swing still looks in peak physical shape. And I think he's good enough chipper and putter. I'm gonna choose Justin Rose.
Justin Rose, 45 years old. That would be some story. From Iceland, we have our friend Adi Olafsson. Adi, how are you, my friend?
You wrong, David. I'm good. This US Open is quite special because we have, for the first time ever, in the US Open, an Icelandic player.
If I had
And
an applause machine, I would be pushing that button. I think it's quite spectacular. Tell us about this young man.
yeah, the young man is just from my golf club. I mean, I used to coach him until he went to the States, and I was with the LCU. And he's unbelievable. He's won some tournaments already in the college, as a freshman. Actually, he won one tournament, and so he's really on a good run. He haven't really got any downside or bad weeks or whatever. A few weeks that he didn't score quite as well as he did the months before, but not really much up again. In the qualifying, he made a double bogey on, I can't remember the hole, but it doesn't matter, but
I
that
think it was
was
the first hole of the second round, right?
exactly, yeah, the
Yeah.
first, and so he needed to do something, and he got this momentum with him. He made birdies, he made another birdie, and I think he made like five birdies after that to qualify, and that was unbelievable. So yeah, it's a lot of hype, a lot of excitement here in my
Absolutely.
golf club in Iceland, but we finally have somebody on the big tournament.
It is pretty impressive. And both of you, Adi, you've caddied for some of your players in European Tour events, and David, you've caddied for Oliver in the Bermuda and the Butterfield Championship for the PGA Tour. What would you tell a kid? How old is this kid? 19, 20, 21?
He's 21, yeah.
21. Obviously, never played a PGA Tour event,
No.
never even seen Shinnecock, never, he's heard everything about the US Open. If you were to caddy for him, what would you, how would you prepare him for this?
Well, the preparation is they started right after he got the qualifying, and there's a strong team around him. My assistant, he's now his main coach. So the team got together and organized the whole thing. It's so important to make less. Don't do much. Just make less and make the player feel comfortable and just try to take it as impressive afterwards as you can. He actually got a really good caddy, a guy that I coached for a very long time, many years. I was on the Challenge Tour, my best player that I coached ever. So he's really good. He's good at his job to doing, to calm down and be the best caddy and be the best man that day. So yeah, I think, don't overthink anything. Just stay calm. Just enjoy it. Just breathe in and breathe out.
David, when you caddied for Oliver in his first PGA event, he was, I don't know, 14, 50, he's one of the youngest guys ever. Was that being in the tournament a success? I mean, obviously it was, but was that success enough, or how far did you go in terms of setting goals for that week? Was the cut the goal, or were there less specific goals?
There was one very specific goal that Oliver and I practiced, and it'd be the same thing that I would tell Arnie as he gets ready to play. Sorry for saying that in English, Adi, but that little thingy over the A's messes me up. What I would tell Arnie is that you only have control over one shot, the very first one. So when people ask you, what do you expect? What are you preparing for? What do you hope to accomplish? When he steps up on the first tee or the 10th tee, whatever he draws, that he hits that first tee shot well. And I know when Oliver and I were doing it, we talked about it immediately after he qualified. And I said, people are going to ask what your expectation is. And that expectation is, I'm going to hit the first tee shot well.
Wow.
That is a good point.
Yeah, excellent point. You only have
Keep
control
it simple. That's the
over
next shot
one
you're going to hit.
shot.
And you're not there unless you deserve to be there in the first place.
I know.
Well, we'll be following, and hopefully he'll get some TV time. Wouldn't that be something else? Are you in contact with him, Adi, or
Yeah. We're
oh.
good. Very good contact. And
Oh, all right. So
yeah.
we'll be getting some inside scoop. Who do you like from Eduardo's five?
So I'm going to make my little own rule now because we can choose for that. But since we're the only three of us to choosing, so I'm trying to choose not the same person as everybody else, so that we get a little bit of a game out of it. So I actually did put Rory as a name down, but I don't really believe in my heart that he's going to win it. And I don't think Ludwig is going to win it, but I think, and I want to put my money on Tommy.
On Tommy.
So yeah, he's been like a little ghost. So
Yeah.
who knows what he's been doing? So I'm gonna,
I mean, he's
there's not much of a pressure on him, and he because it's going to be windy, and you are going to need a lot of shots, Actually, maybe from 150 yards, these guys might have to take up the 5 iron and hit low shots because the wind is, especially I think of 10 and 11, it can be really difficult shots, and you need to control the ball. And I think he's got that. So yeah, I'm gonna put my money on Tommy.
I think that's a good. Are those shots that Ludwig doesn't have?
No, Ludwig has them all as well, but you see Tommy do it more often, yeah.
Thank God he has those shots because he's my pick. So I'm going with Ludwig. Amazingly, I looked at some of the ages, and you kind of lose track year after year after year. When I noticed that Tommy was 35 years old, Shane Lowry's 39 years old, And then you have Scottie Scheffler, who's 29 years old, which is absolutely incredible. I mean, who thinks he's 29? But anyways, my pick is Ludwig, even though he has missed a bunch of cuts in his majors, and probably the Masters will be his first major. I'm still going to go with him for whatever reason, because nobody else has picked him and I like him. Next, we move on to the top five PGA Tour players. And here we have a Scottie Scheffler, who is playing for the career Grand Slam this week. The only the US Open missing from his trophy cabinet. We have Xander Schauffele, who has six top tens in the US Open. And his worst finish in all of the US Open he's ever played in was a tied for 14th place, which impressed me very much, I gotta say, when I checked this list out. Then we have Cam Young, New York born and bred, Sleepy Hollow Country Club, where his dad was is a pro. 29 years old. We have Brooks, of course, five majors, back-to-back US Opens. And we have Russell Henley, who's always a favorite, kind of under the radar kind of guy at the Rotofest, who's finished tied for seventh and tied for 10th in the last two US Opens. I will open up the bidding on this round, and I will go with the guy from New York. I will go with Cam Young. Very impressed with how he handled Bethpage Black and the Ryder Cup. Surely he's played a bunch of golf on Shinnecock. So I like him. It's tough to bet against Xander, but I like his chances. Mr. Olofsson.
Yeah, Cam is definitely going to perform with the way he's swinging, the way he's playing. But I'm going for Xander Schauffele. I think, I mean, she was talking about the fairways a little brighter, but this, I think it's all going to be around this. It's going to be windy, it's going to be dry, it's going to be really fast greens. You need a lot of shot making around that, and you need a strong shot game. You need to play clever because it's makeable if you miss the shot in the right spot. And I think Sander is up to that, so he's going to be my pick.
Interesting point. Now, this is going to be a very, very big pick because Brandel Chamblee's reputation might rest on this pick.
Look,
Yeah,
Randall?
Brandel, who, by the way, does not answer my emails.
Oh, he doesn't answer anybody's
Now,
email.
there you go. Mr. O.
Well, I mean, if we're going to have a gentleman's agreement here, which I think we should, you've left me Scotty, and so I've got to take Scotty Scheffler just because. Let me see. Strokes gained total for the year. Scotty's number one. Strokes gained tee to green, combining tee and green. Scotty's number one. Strokes gained approach, he was a little bit further down. But my second pick on the Americans would have been Russell Henley.
Oh,
And he's
really?
not been all that sharp with the he hasn't been all that sharp on the approach game.
Scotty, I think what Brandel Chamblee said was that Scotty has lost the air of being invincible on a show, I think last week or beginning, or yeah, last week probably. Do you get the feeling? I mean, is it because he's only won once this year, where this time last year he's won four or five times?
I think any objective measure of Scottie Scheffler, he's playing every bit as good as he did last year. But when you get to be somebody like Scottie, number one, I don't think he demands to be the biggest the biggest unit in the room. I don't think that's his style. I think Scotty plays for an audience of one. And so when you talk about strokes gained around the green, you know, he's number three.
Right.
You know, Jason Day's right behind him, then Tommy Fleetwood. And the guys. Frunk, Chardonnay.
I mean, strokes gained around the green, I think, and is hugely important just because of those elevated, sandy high greens that you'll see a lot of, I think, putts up the slope onto the green, maybe like three woods or some kind of rescue, putting the ball up those slopes that are very closely mowed. And you've played there, David.
Yes.
In the 86 Open that Raymond Floyd won, he had that walk and air of invincibility. I remember that. And Adi's mentioned the wind now a couple of times. I mean, this is not your typical links course that goes out and back in. It has this funky kind of design where three holes form a triangle, which means that you're going to get the wind from every direction. You're not just playing downhill and uphill. Do you remember that setup with it? And
yes.
Was it windy that year?
Well, you talk about the back nine, 10, 11, 12.
Right.
You know, the 10 plays one way and an 11 plays the next and 12 plays the same way. Then like 13, 14, 15 just go back and forth.
Right.
And real quick story.
Please.
About Shinnecock. I'm playing with Jack Nicklaus on Saturday. So first of all, if I'm playing with Jack Nicklaus on a Saturday at the U.S. Open, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, you're making money.
Well, I'm on the weekend and I'm playing with Jack Nicklaus at a U.S. Open, something I dreamed about as a kid, right? And I can't remember which hole it is. It's like five, six, or seven. It's par four on the back. And Jack hit a tee shot about 20 yards to the right of anything that I would try. And he hit it, and I had the it got out of my mouth before I could say anything. I said, go. And Jack turned to me and says, David, that doesn't have to go. And it's right in the middle of the fairway, about 50 yards in front of where I hit it. So it was one of those moments like where, okie dokie.
That was
an
excellent impression of Jack, by the way. But he could have said, don't you dare talk to my ball.
No, he basically said, that doesn't have to go. And
go.
Actually, what it showed me is one of the upfront demonstrations. And maybe Adi has seen this in a player or two, or maybe one of his girls, where there's always that extra gear with the driver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of go along, they go along, they go around. And all of a sudden, one comes off the club and you go, oh, shit, what was that? Right?
Yeah.
Rory did it in the match play the one time when he drove the 18th green in Austin. Like all of a sudden, it comes off the club and you go, okay.
So I do remember once watching a tournament. It was Nick Faldo and Richard Goosen were in the flight, and Nick was always behind Richard Goosen. Then this little par five, a dogleg to the right, and Nick Faldo just like pumps it up. It's this huge, huge strike, and went over the bunker, cut the corner, you know, and saved himself. Like suddenly, Richard Goosen was way behind him. So, yeah, I've seen this, and some of my players can do it as well.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun thing to have.
Our next category, gentlemen, we have five guys that are going off at around 45-1 odds. And two of them are major winners, Colin Morikawa, who, again, is only still 29. And when we talk about Tommy, who's 35, is he starting to worry that maybe it's getting kind of time? I'm 35. I got to win one.
Tommy Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, I actually think that Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose, just by what I know of their makeup, are two guys they'll take that as motivation. So, it is time to get going.
There you go. So the two major was Colin Morikawa and JJ Spawn, the winner from last year. And Colin, like I said, is 29. JJ is 35. JJ has missed the cut in both majors this year. And the other three members of this category are Chris Goddard, I got the first name right this time, who's only played in one US Open. Patrick Cantlay, still without a major, and Victor Hovland, who finished third last year at the US Open. Mr. Ogren, it's your honor. Your honor.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always nice to have a Caddyshack
Yeah, thank you very little.
reference. Yeah, you're welcome. Not at all. Out of this group, for whatever it's worth, I'm gonna take the one guy in this group that kind of has no form, no style. I'm gonna take Goddard up.
Oh, there you go. But Goddard is kind of like Cam Young. You know, he's from Jersey, I think. And he's also, I mean, when you look at him, you think, my God, he's like one of these journeymen that I've just never heard of. But he's only 25 or 26 years old. So
Yeah.
definitely a good pick. Since we have our gentleman agreement, I'm going to pick him like I planned, but I will go. Adi, I'm sorry. Did you pick Ludwig? No, I picked Ludwig. All right. So I'm gonna go Colin. I'm gonna call him for Rick Sessinghouse.
Is Morikawa, didn't he hurt his back? Is he
Did he? Is he out? Oh.
no, but no, he's okay now, but he did some
Before
months
the
ago
Masters,
before
right?
now. Yeah.
Beware of the injured golfer.
Yeah.
You know, when I play golf, what hurts? I'm going on a golf trip on the weekend, my only golf trip of the year. My God, I'm just thinking about it, everything hurts. But I'm going with Colin Morikawa, two-time major winner, two top fives at the US Open, so I think he's got a good shot. And I'm leaving Victor for you, Mr. Olaf.
Yeah, I think that's, we don't need to
Oh, first of all,
speak a lot.
it wasn't even my turn.
But Victor is good. I take Victor all the time.
You go. I jumped in. I got getting a little mixed up with only three guys in the pool. But yeah, Victor, when you look at the European Ryder Cup team and you look again at the ages of these guys, Rory, Tommy, Shane, Justin, these guys are old.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, Victor is only 2 years older than Ludwig. Is he does he have that killer instinct you need to win a major? I mean, we talked about it, Adi, with Ted at the last RotoFest, and with you, David. Or is he just happy with being in the top 10, having a shot at a major, or does he really have the drive?
Yeah, it comes always with those guys. I mean, if they smell the possibility of winning, what kind of character are you? You know what I mean? And if Victor won the tournament, he couldn't hit the ball for his life, but then suddenly he stumbles him to good rounds, and he smelled that he could win, and he won that tournament. So those kind of characters, if they get into that, because they love it, they love the game, they love winning. So yeah, you should never write them out. He is absolutely, if he is on his game, and if he is up to it, I mean, he loves the competition and loves to be up there fighting for winning.
They not only widened the fairway back to the original intention of the architect of Shinnecock. I just read that I heard an interview with John Bodenhammer, the USGA chief of the USGA chief championships officer, on the course setup, where he was talking about watering, syringing the greens, and actually slowing the greens down as well. Why would they do that? Just because they expect a lot of wind and they're afraid of the ball oscillating on the green, or because it doesn't allow them to use certain pin positions? Why would they slow down the greens, David?
All right, so the way some of the greens at Shinnecock are, and 18 would be a perfect example. The whole location is going to be in the same spot basically all 4 days. They don't really have any other place that they can put it except middle, back, left. And if the greens are too fast, then that ball comes off that green and kind of basically doesn't stop. Same with the par three hole, where everybody had a hard time getting it on the green. Same with the hole where Phil played hockey with it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Same with number 11. If the green is too fast, you just really kind of can't keep the ball on the green if they're going to be running 12 or so. So, and what makes the ball stop more than the height of the cut is moisture. Right? Because when you think about a golf course where it's been raining, they're still cutting the green the same height. It's just more moisture.
Right.
So moisture is what slows it down more than height of cut, it seems. So anyway.
Right. And you mentioned 11. I mean, they say that 7 and 11 are probably the two greatest par threes in golf. Would that be a fair statement?
No.
No.
No, because if you're really going to remember a par three, you should be able to stand there and picture it in your mind what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. I definitely don't remember 7. Mm-hmm. I remember 11 because it just looks like you're shooting to the top of a Volkswagen. Beetle.
Yeah, Beetle. There you go. Top of a Beetle.
That's what it looks like. But, you know, I mean, you can't stand up on the 7th hole at Pebble Beach and not remember it.
Okay. Would that be your favorite par three?
Actually, well, you know, I got all kinds of great par threes. But, you know, when you think of great par threes, 7 at Pebble and 17 at TPC and 12 at Augusta are all par threes that you can remember.
Mm-hmm.
The 15th, not the 16th, hole at Cypress Point is unbelievable. And then there's just so many. It's not that difficult to build cool par threes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I always enjoyed a really good par three as the 17th hole. And when I think about par threes, I think about the 17th at my old home course in Lido on Long Island. I think about 17 at Bethpage Black. And I think about 17 on the ocean course in Kiowa. Jesus Christ. I remember Calcavecchia and Monty making a mess of that in the Ryder Cup. But it's still, you know, it's a phenomenal golf course. We are in the next category, gentlemen. We're moving along quite nicely. We only have 6 categories plus the wild cards today. And here we have five guys that are going off at 101. So a little tenor on those guys will pay off very nicely. They are Akshay Bhatia, Bud Cauley, who won last week and just got in, I believe, as an extra. We have Gary Woodland, who's the only major winner in this group. Then we have our favorite Danish team, the Højgaards. You get both of them. And we got Sepp Strucker, surprisingly, going off at 101. No, David?
Yeah, these are guys that are 100-1. And, you know, it's like their fatal flaw.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Moneyball. His fatal flaw is he can't run or whatever, but he gets on base.
Right.
You know, I'm happy for Bud Cauley, by the way, because he was going to fall in one of those categories as somebody who was so good, and how come he didn't win on tour?
Really?
And he got that monkey off his back. I think you can never go bad with a twofer, so the Højgaards are good. Sepp, I don't know. Sepp doesn't seem – he doesn't excite me. Gary Woodland, the former champion, I like a lot. But just statistically, by the numbers.
You're going Højgaards.
No, I got to go Akshay.
You're going Akshay.
Even though I don't think – I don't really think he putts good enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's his fatal flaw. And he's too skinny.
And he's in the wind, yeah.
And he's too skinny. But
that might be a problem. But I think, you know, everybody's talking about that, you know, the feet from the putts from 10 feet in are really the ones that you got to make.
Yes.
There you go.
And also, I mean, just on strokes gained total, just going off that, Akshay is the highest of this bunch by far.
By far. There you go. You're going with the lefty, Mr. Akshay Bhatia. I think that's a nice call. Mr. Olafsson, are you?
Yes, do you still hear me?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. We are in the 100-to-1 category. You see the players. David has just picked Akshay Bhatia for statistical purposes or reasons.
Yeah, I'm just gonna make my pick as I am very organized. I'm just first gonna see whether so this category is here. Who do you choose again?
David picked Akshay. I did not pick yet.
Akshay, you picked Akshay. Yeah. The Højgaard. Always going to be mine.
Always going to be mine. Always going to be yours.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
One of them, I don't know which one is 101, and the other one is even more than 101. So good luck with them. I'm going to fly the Austrian flag with Sepp Straka. I don't know when Austria is playing in the World Cup. I think they're playing Jordan, so I'm definitely rooting for Jordan there. For this intent and purposes, I will go with the big Zep, who, again, you know, I think that maybe, you know, and when you look at the weather, it's supposed to rain on Thursday and it's supposed to be really windy on Thursday. Then Friday, clearing up, still windy. Saturday, cloudy, very windy. And Sunday, clearing up, windy. With a temperature, I guess, in the 70s, about 20-something, 21, 22 Celsius. I think that's exactly the European climate that the guys from the European Tour are used to. So I will go with Zep in this category. Just in case Mr. Long had shown up, we have our Asian category consisting of Hideki, of course, Masters champion, Sungjae Im, still looking for a major, Siwoo Kim, looking for a major. Minwoo Lee, looking for a major. And major winner, Aaron Rai, Mr. Two Gloves. We shall go back to Mr. Ogren, since Mr. Olafsson is walking around.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's looking for a spot in his beautiful Icelandic mansion.
Yeah, well, France and Senegal are even. Looks like they're approaching the 20th minute.
There you go. I'm very surprised and impressed by the performance of the African countries and disappointed by the South Americans so far. So we'll see if that continues. I think France is definitely, hopefully we'll get them and we'll knock them out, but we'll see. You watching most of the games, David?
I'm watching pretty much all of them, Frank.
There you go. What channel is it on?
It's on Fox Sports right now, but I'm just watching it on the background here on the
give us a shout when there's a goal. But from the agents from
far and away the best Asian golfer is Siwoo Kim.
He definitely is.
So if I get a free pass,
you get
and I get to pick
pass.
One, I'm picking Siwoo.
You get the free pass at Makeup for Garter Up in Akshai. Adi, are you available or should I go first?
I'm good. I'm really
Good.
good. I'm just, chasing to my phone because I need to move around a little bit
There you go. You got it.
but I'm there. And actually, I'm gonna take the Aaron, right? Because he's from England. He's probably gonna be in the Ryder Cup team, so that would
Yeah,
suit me quite well.
definitely, definitely.
And
So,
he, I think, I mean, really, if it, he's good enough to perform on that golf course. That's definitely
yeah, well,
no question.
definitely a guy with a chance of making the cut. I will go. Where's my list? I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Min Woo. Why not? Haven't had him in the pool for a long time. And now
He
the last
easily the second best Asian on the list.
is he? Okay, there, I like that. Hideki kind of, I don't, you never know with him, but I think Min Woo is definitely poised to break out at some point. And then we have, perhaps for the last time in a RotoFest, a group of five live guys. And here we got some pretty big names. We've got, of course, John Rahm. We've got Bryson. We've got Patrick Reed. We've got Tyrrell Hatton. And we got Joaquin Niemann. And when I was freaking out when I was reminded that Scotty's only 29, it freaked me out equally that John Rahm's only 31. So that's the future of the Ryder Cup right there with going forward, I think. Mr. Olafsson, it's your pleasure in this category.
Yeah, I thought a lot about that and those guys, and I'm gonna let my more like my wish be what I choose here, because the only guy really I like in that from those guys is Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of Ryder Cups, and he is unbelievable, that guy.
Yeah.
And he's such so fun to watch, how he talks to his ball and how he talks to himself, and that's a lot of fun watching him. So yeah, that's I hope he'll do well. That would be good.
Yeah, well, with social media and YouTube and everything, you see all these moments of him, and sometimes, you a lot of times using foul language, which I'm fine with. But one of the funniest moments I've seen, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, and perhaps you guys have seen it, is when he was taking a practice swing and somebody slams the door of the porta-john on the side on the fairway, and out comes his wife or girlfriend. And it's just such a lighthearted moment. And he's like, "What are you doing there?" She's in the toilet in the porta-john. Mr. Ogren, as we move towards halftime of the football game, not quite. Who's your live guy to go to? Who's your live go-to guy?
The American little shit.
Oh no, Patrick.
Don't
Patrick.
believe that.
Patrick, Patrick, Patrick. Now, Bryson, obviously, he's won two U.S. Opens. I mean, shouldn't he be, the clear or want to pick you at least? I don't know.
Okay, so here's my thinking on Patrick.
Yeah, please.
Okay, if they expand the fairways, right, which you would think would help somebody like a DeChambeau or Jon Rahm or Rory McIlroy, then you got Patrick Reed, who kind of doesn't really miss fairways anyway. So he can get it up there an extra few yards because there's really no worry about it, right?
He's not missing. Wow.
Right. And if
Interesting.
you give him one less club in his hand most of the holes, he's one club better than normal. And then he is so tenacious and just such a pain in the butt that he's the kind that can hustle his way around the event. Now, what I would really expect from him is to kind of be not really there, not really there, not really there. And then with six holes to play, go, where did Patrick Reed come from?
Right. That's interesting because in the U.S. Open, he really hasn't performed that well. He has a tied for fourth in 2018. But I like the fact that he can give it a little extra of the tee because he's not even concerned about missing the fairway. But then again,
where was 2018?
Well, who won 2018? Now you're asking me a good question. I mean, I'm just taking notes. 2018 U.S. Open was in. Wait a second. Who won that? Anybody have it handy? Here we go. 2018 was when Brooks won back-to-back at Shinnecock. So he finished tied for fourth at Shinnecock in 2018.
There you go.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But Brooks won there, and he beat Tommy by one, and Patrick Reed was fourth. I'm going to go with Rambo.
Good pick.
Because I like him. Now, those are the six categories. And gentlemen, we have two wild cards, please. The highest ranking wild cards that are not on the list that can be picked are Matt Fitzpatrick at 20-1, not on Eduardo's list. We have Sam Burns. We have The Hotel at 40-1. We have Bobby Mack at 65. And there was another guy. I forgot who the other guy was. I have it written down somewhere. But you can pick anybody you like. And maybe we will start with, should we just go one pick first so we don't pick the same guys? Want to do it that way?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. Adi, can you give us one wild card?
Yeah, of course I'm going to go with my Icelandic guy. I mean, he's not going to win, he's not going to win, but I have to pick him.
There you go.
It's the only chance, the first time. And that's going to be my first pick. Árni Sveinsson.
The other favorite of the top five that's not being picked was JT at 50-1. David, give us one of your wild cards.
All right. Well, of all the people that weren't in the first six categories, that's not obviously Matthew Fitzpatrick would be somebody. But Frank?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to give you a gift.
I know you're going. You're going to give me? Please.
I'm going to go to Jake Knapp.
Oh.
And you know why?
Why?
Because he's number four on the tour in total strokes gained. And I really think that, as you can tell, I have a theme about Shinnecock, is you get somebody with a complete game playing that golf course, and I think they'll do well.
Jake Knapp it is. I will go with my first wild card with Maverick McNealy.
Oh, good choice.
Oh. Former and number one amateur player, I believe. I don't know if he was a U.S. Open amateur, a U.S. amateur champion, but I think, and I watched him at the PGA. I was it the PGA? Yeah, I was thinking of taking him, and he was just so solid. I'm very happy with him. David, your second wild card, please.
Well, what's really interesting, of course, is Maverick is right between Brooks and Wyndham Clark on the total strokes.
Please, the hotel. You taking the hotel?
No, because if you guys aren't going to take Matt Fitzpatrick, I'm going to take him this time.
Yeah, you guys. That's what.
I actually really have a hunch that Matt Fitzpatrick wins, and he does it by multiple strokes.
Wow. We're going to have a chat with Eduardo about that if he does. Jake Knapp and Matt Fitzpatrick. It is for David and Adi. Who is your second wild card, please?
It's going to be Bobby. Scottish game a little bit. So, but I agree with Fitzpatrick is going to be up. His confidence is really high. He's well prepared. He can do all the shots and it's going to help him that the field is a little brighter. But I think Bobby Mack is going to be up there as well. Especially if it really gets tough. He kind of thrives in those kinds of situations.
I like that pick very much, Bobby McIntyre. And I'm going to go, and I want to, I have to, I will go, of course, with Matti and see how he does in his first U.S. Open. I know Craig is there preparing with him, and they're going to have an awesome time, and I'll be following him online. Guys, thank you very much. I think it was a great threesome. Ladies and gentlemen, historically, Sunday at the U.S. Open coincides with Father's Day in the United States. And to all the American fathers who listen to us, and especially to our radio all-star fathers, David, Casey, Ted, Ben, Bill, enjoy your Father's Day, golf on and off the course on Sunday. That was it, ladies and gentlemen. To the Lynx Land.